Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 15th of June, smack dab in the middle of the month, smack dab in the middle of 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. And also with me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. We've had some announcements from Apple today, as a matter of fact. So first of all, the Mac Pro now has an SSD upgrade kit that is available from Apple. If on the off chance you are not named John Keat and you have been upset about the size of the SSD that Apple put in that computer for you, you can swap out that factory issued SSD and you can use this upgrade kit to get 1, 2, 4, or 8 terabytes of flash storage in that machine. So that's some good news, particularly if you're someone who's maybe out of space on those. While Apple was introducing upgrades, they also introduced the 16-inch MacBook Pro graphics card upgrade. You can get a slightly nicer card in that than you could before. And the other thing we have is that the Apple Card itself has been expanded. So you used to only get 0% financing on, I believe it was just Macs, like just Macs and laptop, just like
I thought it was just iPhones.
Oh, was it just iPhones? Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was something and now it's a bunch more stuff. So if you were looking at buying something, you can get 0% financing for those items if you use your Apple Card or if you go get an Apple Card so that you not only get 3% back on that item, but as you pay it off, you will get 0% financing on that. So that deal gets better all the time.
It used to be just iPhone when they did it in December and then expanded to Macs today, expanded to Macs, iPad, AirPods, AirPods Pro, Apple Pencil. I mean, they went, I don't want to say they did the whole lineup, but they did pretty much anything with an Apple logo on it that is hardware goes this direction. Yeah. Which is pretty good.
Yeah. That's, and I think it's interesting that all of a sudden it just sort of rolled out for everything. Although I think that our topic for today might be a huge piece of that. And
maybe
call it a hunch. So next Monday is the kickoff of WWDC. And one of the things that we presume we will see and have discussed here is the announcement of ARM processors going into Macs. And one of the things that we were talking about this morning is if this happens, if they're going to roll out ARM processors to people, you know, we've looked at like previous upgrades and what else. So if they're going to put ARM processors in new Apple computers, then what processor or what model is going to get that first? So I don't think anyone's convinced that the Mac Pro is where this is going to roll out first. But it doesn't seem like starting with the far and away most popular machines that Apple makes, which would be the MacBook Pro, is maybe also not the greatest choice. Like, you don't want to go from zero to maximum, you know, if you're looking at rolling out something new. So that might leave us with the Mac Mini, right, John?
Yeah, well, as Dave pointed out in the morning meeting, a lot of developers use MacBooks as their development tool, maybe connected to another display. Mm-hmm. But when you're in development mode, you might want to be able to test peripherals. You might want to be able to access more storage. You might be able to want to attach multiple displays. And you're kind of boxed in with a MacBook Pro as a primary development tool when you're testing out a new piece of hardware like an ARM chip. So my theory is that Apple will likely introduce an ARM-based Mac Mini first and early. Maybe even sometime later this year, and make it exclusive to developers, I'm guessing.
Oh.
So that they can start writing their code and getting it developed for both platforms, Intel and ARM. And it's the right kind of machine because it has a right price point. As you said, you don't want to go to ARM on a Mac Pro. That's a big project. Mm-hmm. You want to make it an affordable machine for developers. You want to have lots of ports on the back. Some USB, some USB-C, some mm-hmm. Thunderbolt, some standard USB 3.
That was always the thing that was nice about the Mini, is like the sheer amount of stuff that of opportunities to plug into the back of it. It was always that way.
Testing your code. Yeah. So I'm putting my money on a ARM-based Mac Mini as the first machine to come out, and maybe even an early one this year.
Oh, I beg to differ. Are you going to let me differ, Kelly, or are you going to ask me to wait because I have so much to say?
No,
I could be wrong.
All I was waiting for in that moment was for John to wind that up with "I have spoken." So,
I thought you were going to ask me to wait to talk about Devin Think, but I am happy to go now if you are ready for me to go now. So you tell me.
Okay, now that I can hear the tone in your voice, I think I'm going to talk about Devin Think first. Because I can tell there's a lot. There's a lot going on there. So I want to talk to you about our sponsor this week. They are Devin Technologies. They make an app called Devin Think. Devin Think helps you collect, file, organize, edit, and annotate all kinds of data, whether it's documents, whether it's file attachments. You can put everything in Devin Think and let it work all of its magic for you. You can load a live web page like a Google Doc right next to a local file. You can group these items. You can tag these items, both, whatever you prefer, whichever flavor you want. It's the flavor for you. You can create smart rules like smart playlists in iTunes. You can add flexible reminders to everything. And there's unique artificial intelligence that helps sort everything out for you. And even if you're not a programmer, you can automate a lot of things and let all of those boring and repetitive tasks be handled by your new sidekick, Devin Think. Now, just for my listeners, there is a 10% discount on either a full license of a brand spanking new copy of Devin Think 3 or 10% off your upgrade. And that's at devintechnologies.com/TDO. That's devintechnologies.com/TDO. Again, 10% off a full version or an upgrade at devintechnologies.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Devin Technologies for sponsoring the show today.
So, I'd like to thank them for offering pricing, like special deal pricing for our listeners for upgrades as well as for new customers, right?
Yes.
That doesn't always happen. So
it really doesn't.
They deserve a little extra mention, which they just got. All right. Good. John, I disagree. you're right.
Hold on. Let me get my knitting. I'll be over here.
Sure. You're right that the Mac Mini is a decent, development machine, and it does have all those ports on it. But I don't, but we have Thunderbolt 3, and so we can add any ports to any Thunderbolt 3 Mac that we want. We don't need to have all of those things baked in. And by having all of those things baked in and having those things in a Mac Mini, that is a non-portable machine. I know I'm stating the obvious, but I'm looking back at what Apple did when they rolled out from PowerPC to Intel. Lo, those many years ago, pre-pandemic times, but not pre-internet times. But I remember watching the keynote. It was at Macworld Expo, and racing to the speaker lounge afterwards to get on the Wi-Fi with my, I want to say titanium MacBook Pro, but that's just, it might have been, I can't remember which one.
I have one of those.
Maybe it was the Pismo. Was the titanium the first of the Intel?
No, Pismo was black plastic. The TiBook was titanium.
I know, but I can't remember which was the last of the PowerPCs, and it might well have been the Pismo.
I think it was Pismo. Ordered.
Yeah, so I opened up my Pismo. We're going to go with that for the story, and then I ordered my new, what was going to be my first Intel Mac, to make sure that I got one, ahead of everybody else trying to order one, and I did, and that was great. But that was the only machine that was available as sort of the preview for developers, mm-hmm. right? That it was a laptop. Now, if we rewind even further,
remember in those days, your laptops had all available ports. You had an Ethernet port.
Yeah,
you had lots.
Your hanging up on ports is not a 2020 thing. I really like, but, no.
You really want to attach a Thunderbolt dock to your ARM-based MacBook and sure. do development? Because you yourself on this very show, I've talked about partitioning issues with data speeds, and well, my experience is there are minor issues with Thunderbolt docks with display drives all working simultaneously smoothly.
It's just that there is a power issue on the MacBook Air if you're running on battery and you have more than one thunder.
We've experienced
but only on Tuesdays when the moon is full, it sounds like.
But yes, I absolutely like docs. We are in dongle land, right? Like,
yes.
And it's a great thing because you get to pick what ports you want. You're not stuck with the ones that that have been assigned to you. So
forget it, John. So, yeah, it's dongle town.
We're in dongle town. Yeah, I'm okay with it. But if we rewind back to when Apple rolled out the PowerPC migration with the whole Power Mac thing, like the first of those, I feel like was a specially priced, you know, Tower Mac. But laptops were not a thing that developers used at that time, because with the power constraints and all of that, Apple certainly had laptops, but power constraints and all that made laptops not a development machine. But now, most developers that I know, most developers. Yes.
Miserable little chip.
Okay. Most developers that I know use laptops. Mm-hmm. Not all. Certainly there are some developers that you know, use a Mac Pro or a Mac Mini, you know, a desktop machine, lots of monitors, but usually it's a MacBook Pro with lots of monitors. And the 16-inch MacBook Pro is, I would say, certainly the most popular machine. If I were to poll all of the developers that I know and ask them, what do you use? And Apple, if they're moving to ARM, they're going to want to meet developers where they live. If they tell a developer, you must get a desktop machine, fixed in place machine, to even begin dipping your toes in this world of ARM for Mac development, guess what's going to happen? Most developers are going to say, yeah, not right now. I got this. I'll wait, right?
Yeah.
If Apple's going to do this, and let you know, for the sake of this discussion, we're assuming that they are. Of course, they've announced nothing in typical fashion yet.
Yeah.
Then they're going to want to meet every developer where they possibly can. And that's a laptop. Because if you are a fixed in place at your desk person, great. You know, lots of developers
plug into a monitor, call it good.
And call it good. And quite frankly, I would assume that the battery management health feature that they added to 10.15.5 probably is more aimed toward developers, or more useful for any given community for developers than anybody else, because there are lots of developers that have these portable machines that don't move quite so much. And certainly these days, you know, most machines aren't moving anywhere anyway, because we humans aren't moving anywhere. So I really think Apple would not cut them. I don't think they're going to release a lineup of ARM development Macs. I think they're going to release one.
On the other hand, Dave.
Yes, sir.
On the other hand, a lot of developers are living on a shoestring. And if you tell them they have to buy a $2,500, $2,800 16-inch MacBook Pro to do their ARM development, they're going to feel a little bit under pressure, because then what do you buy when the real machines come out? And
you
can get a Mac Mini for $900 as a test machine.
Dave posited that this would be a dev-only machine.
That ARM-based machine that you want in 2021.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And that's why I kind of rewound all the way to when they moved to PowerPC. Was they offered developers a very, like, it was one machine per developer account, or however it worked. I mean, it wasn't quite as you know, the accounts were organized differently than they are now.
Yeah.
But it was a limited opportunity. You had to have already been signed up as a paying developer, right?
There were hurdles.
And there were all these hurdles, but you got a really, really steep discount on one development machine for you.
That's a good way to go. I like that.
So,
right. And Apple's sitting on a ton of cash right now. It's very easy, even for, you know, the spreadsheet bean counters that never leave the cubicle. to look at that and say, this is a worthwhile investment to make if we want to make this leap to everything being on ARM. Now, remember, developers, iOS developers, are already used to coding for ARM. So it's entirely possible that this isn't nearly the leap that it was from, say, you know, PowerPC to Intel, right? But it's still a leap. And they could do this and you know, offer developers for, but look, they got to charge them something, because if they charge everybody $100 or $0, people are just going to say, like, hey, sign me up. I'll take a free machine and never use it. But for $1,000 for that $2,500 laptop, well, now, oh, okay, hey, that's like, that's what I would have paid for a Mac Mini, but now I've got all of this and I can do everything I need. And that's what it'll be, is an everything you need to be able to truly not just develop, because my guess is we can develop for ARM. I know we can develop for ARM on an Intel-based Mac because we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Right. So, we already do for iPhones. So like, they need to be able to run their apps and test them. And that's where a laptop comes in handy, because if you've got a Mac Mini, you're not testing on a laptop. You're not testing power usage and all of those important things. So the more I talk about this, the more convinced I am, or maybe the more entrenched I am in the idea that a laptop is it.
Guess what, Dave?
What did I do, John?
You swayed me.
Aha.
Sort of your logic has convinced me. The discount did it.
I'm so glad I hit record.
That closes the deal. Yeah.
Well, but my question is this, and maybe the No Kelly developers only piece solves this problem, but that is, you know, Dave, when we're talking about like going Intel and rolling it out as the MacBook Pro wasn't the machine. I know what I'm saying, but let me get to the end of it. It wasn't the machine it is now, which is to say the default Apple computer. Like, if you ask somebody who has a Mac what they have, if you ask them if they have a MacBook Pro, most of the time, you know, the answer is going to be yes. Like, it's sort of understood that, like, everybody's going to have a laptop. So do you really want to roll out, like I said, do you really want to roll out on the MacBook Pro scale for a machine, you know, in this particular case? Now, the developer only model might be the thing that makes that difference also for me. Like, if it's not something that they're rolling out to everyone, then that would be something sort of appealing. So now, Dave, while you are entrenching in theories, do you think that Catalyst is part of the reason we have Catalyst is so that we could do this, because it sort of gave the iOS people who have been developing for ARM architecture for all this time the opportunity to develop for a Mac, and now they're basically developing in a much more known environment when they're doing this stuff with Catalyst than they were before, because now they're working on pretty similar hardware profiles, not just... we've done enough things with Catalyst behind the scenes to make all of this possible for you. But now, like, it's just going to be easier to develop stuff that runs on macOS because they're sort of using the same chip.
I have a thought here, and this is just me random. I had caffeine this morning, which I don't normally have. So take this all for what it's worth. But I did just convince John Martellaro to I did sway you, John. And so I'm riding a high here.
You're on a roll.
What if next week's keynote, the section where they talk about ARM, and again, we're just presuming that that's coming and it may not. What if they say, so, hey, look, you know, just like they did with Intel, look, here's the building with the, you know, the secret pirate flag that we've been developing this for the last X number of years. Right. They can do this virtually and say, so we have a confession to make. We've taken all of your apps that are in the Mac App Store and we've compiled 100% of them, or some significant percent, for ARM, because, you know, we have your code, or they have enough of their code, or you know, whatever. And you know what? They all work. It's fine. There's nothing you need to change, because I don't know how many developers are, and this is true. I'm not speculating here. I truly don't know. I don't know how many developers are writing anything outside of Xcode based framework code. So it, like, they're not writing chip specific stuff.
Right.
Now, there might be ways of writing things that are more efficient when you're dealing with an ARM chip versus an Intel chip. I, again, I'm not saying there are or
that
there aren't.
The compiler level.
Right.
But the compiler should be taking care of that for you. If there's a more efficient way to accomplish the goal, yes, you should have written it differently, but no worries. I got you. That's what the compiler's job is. So if Xcode is built to just do this, we've worked with these 50 developers or 25 developers and we tried them and had zero problems or got it to the point where we now have zero problems. Look, all of y'all go down Xcode, download, the new version of Xcode right now and compile all you got to do is check this box and you're done.
Yeah.
Right.
What that might do, Dave, that might delay the requirement for an early release. We'll be able to roll out the new ARM-based Macs in 2021 and simultaneously with developers, and developers are already getting ahead.
Yep.
There you go.
Out of the box.
Developers may not need this, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You interpreted
it. It's been an interesting exploration, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. We have to all go think about this now.
You, and then I threw out my premise and then I rejected my own premise. So there you go. So I did prove one thing. I am not entrenched. I am very willing in the face of new information, including that which percolates from within me, to move on from my stated viewpoint. So there you go.
Well, sometimes the truth doesn't occur to you until you have a healthy discussion with somebody else.
Totally.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now that we've blown John's mind, we're going to have to call it for today. We all have to go think about this and what it could mean. If you have ideas about this, if you want to riff on theories that any of us have put forth here, if you think we're totally right, if you think we're totally wrong, let us know. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and comments, as always, in the show notes. Thank you, Dave, for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
This is super fun. John Martellaro, thank you, as always.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks for having me.
I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.